Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live on Tuesday, August 8th, 2023. I am joined by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, you ready to talk about the ACC today?
Yeah, let's do it. It's your conference.
It is my conference, Ben. I don't know how much longer it will be. This could actually be me and Ben's last ever ACC preview, but we're not going to get into all the politics and stuff of college football and what's going down. We're here to give y'all what y'all really want to hear about, which is in-depth breakdowns on the teams that matter in this conference. Ben, this ACC is very top-heavy. Therefore, I think it's only right that we go in on the teams at the top of the conference. We got to start things out with the reigning conference champions. That would be the Clemson Tigers. Clemson's offense, Ben, it's been no secret to anybody that they've been lackluster over the last few years. Clemson brings in Garrett Riley to start calling the plays for this offense in the upcoming 2023 campaign. Clemson lost 24 players to the draft, but they still have 7 returners on offense and 8 on defense. Ben, Cade Klubnik's going to take over as the starting quarterback. What do you think about this Clemson squad for the upcoming season as really their only tough tests, it looks like? They get FSU at home, which is huge. They play a joke of an out-of-conference schedule, and they do play Notre Dame, which is also at home with a little revenge and at South Carolina.
Yeah. The kings of this conference, I feel like, are being a little left behind in the big dog conversation this year. National championship conversations, Clemson's not the team that I've been reading about the most to come out of the ACC potentially. I agree with you on the schedule. The schedule is definitely easier than Florida State's, but I don't think the talent level is the same between Clemson and Florida State this year. A huge difference between programs is obviously Clemson's been on top of the college football world for decent while now, and Florida State's trying to get back to the top, and Florida State's done a tremendous job in the transfer portal while also doing a really good job in recruiting, and Clemson is really just banking on recruiting really well, and Dabo's not a huge supporter of the transfer portal. So FSU was able to thrive there, and Clemson doesn't really take advantage of that opportunity that every school and every coach in the country has. Dabo is just not a fan of it. I think Clemson does have a similar issue to Alabama, or that Alabama had the last season and potentially could have this year. It's, can the wide receivers produce enough big-time plays? Last year, for Clemson and Alabama, I would say the answer was absolutely not to that. The good thing for Clemson is defensively, this should be a strong unit because I would put their front 7 as in the elite category.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's defense is going to be what it always is. I think Clemson's defense will be as good as they typically are. I'm ready to say it, Ben. I think FSU is more talented than Clemson is this year. I'm sorry. Like, don't get me wrong. Cade Klubnik, this guy's a stud, like, recruit and everything, but I'm not ready to anoint him what everybody else wants to. This is not Deshaun Watson and here playing quarterback. This is not Trevor Lawrence. Cade Klubnik last year, he's got to prove it to me, man. He doesn't have the wide receivers he needs. And when he was under pressure this last season, he did not exactly perform. When he was under pressure, he was, shoot, of course, my page just scrolls me all the way to the bottom. But though, when Cade Klubnik was under pressure, he had a passer rating of 23 and he doubled his turnover worthy plays. I mean, I think Cade Klubnik's a good player and all, but he's going to have to prove it in the ACC. And he starts off with Duke, then he plays two cupcakes. Then his first real ACC road games against Duke, I could see him struggling in that game. Then he plays Florida State in the biggest game of his entire career. Tennessee's defense was garbage last year, and he couldn't do a damn thing against them. I don't know if Cade Klubnik's ready for the task, Ben.
Yeah, the difference is obviously he's got the whole offseason knowing he's the guy, starting as the guy, knows what he needs to work on because he did get significant playing time last year. Will Shipley certainly helps. Will Shipley's among the best backs in college football. So, listen, Clemson will be there, I think, in the end, especially competing in the ACC, even if they do lose at home to FSU, which. I mean, it's really, really hard to win at Clemson. It's one of the hardest places to win since Dabo's been there. So even if they do lose a home game, Florida State's got the harder schedule. So I don't see a team in the ACC competing for an undefeated season. And I think every team could have more than one loss as well. But I mean, we'll see. It's probably coming down to Clemson and Florida State, even if it doesn't. Like it's not going to end after September 3rd when they play each other.
Yeah, exactly, guys. The ACC doesn't have divisions anymore, which is huge. So FSU Clemson can play each other in the ACC championship. I've even seen some people go with a trendy pick of FSU and Clemson play three times, including in the college football playoff, which would be
Wow.
insanity. Yeah, I don't believe in that, but I do think it would be insanity. Last thing I want to say about Clemson is I think it does do them some favors that they get to play Notre Dame later on in the season. I think Klubnik will be playing a lot better at that point. I can't write off Will Shipley. The guy is one of the best running backs in college football. I think they have a backup running back too that's pretty nice as well, is another stud. I could be wrong though on that. But yeah, I just think that this Clemson, I just think that he doesn't have the receivers like we've seen in the past. I don't see Sammy Watkins. I don't see DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I don't see Mike Williams. I don't see those guys out there receiving the ball. This Clemson team's still going to be damn good, and I'd be shocked to see them lose more than one game this season. Ben, let's talk about my Florida State Seminoles. Florida State and Clemson, by the way, were 8-9 in the coaches poll that just came out. Ben, Florida State, man, we're third in the nation, tied with North Carolina for the most returning production. We got 17 starters back. Jared Verse and Lovett both are coming back on the defensive line. Offense is just loaded top to bottom in the wide receiver room, including Keon Coleman, who said that he escaped Michigan State, as in like that he literally broke out of jail or something. FSU, though, we step out of our comfort zone, man. We play the big dogs when we play the out-of-conference games. We do play a decently tough schedule as we're going to play at Clemson. We play LSU on a neutral site, not to mention have to go at Pittsburgh, who's going to be one of the better teams in the ACC as well. Miami does come home. And, of course, we play another SEC opponent in Florida. We don't play the cupcakes like most of these other teams do. Ben, what do you think my Noles are going to do this upcoming season?
Yeah, this would be my vote for best overall team in the conference.
Let's go.
I think that's a pretty popular pick this year with the amount of overall talent that they've either brought in, brought back, or have just been in the program. Is Norvell's fourth year or third?
This is fourth year.
Okay, yeah. In his 4 years, first year was what it was, second year built, third year really built. I think they have excelled in the portal. Paired with a lot of talent, possible Heisman contending quarterback, two legit receivers, a tight end they bring in from South Carolina who can do it all. Jaheim Bell took carries at South Carolina last year. This is the year that your Seminoles have that real hope again. And it's not the hope to where, can we have a two-loss season, get to a New Year's Six Bowl? This hope, this hype that they are getting is national championship. Final Four hype, and it's real because of the amount of talent that they have, right? The only difficulty, piecing it all together in a consistent basis. Can you get the best performance out of your best players week by week by week, and it starts in week one. Now, their season doesn't end if they lose to LSU by any means. But if you lose to LSU, that Clemson game is because even more important, because if you lose both of those games, you're obviously going to be needing other teams to lose to get you back in the driver's seat. You'd be down a tiebreaker to Clemson. So we're going to find out how real this Florida State team is right away in week one in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, and look, Ben, from Florida State view of things, as much as I want to be the guy to come out here and say that it's national championship or bust, it's really not. And I think the entire fan base needs to realize this too. Look, when Norvell took over, Willie Taggart left us with nothing. Norvell had to reestablish the recruiting lines. He had to rebuild a program. I mean, we reached the bottom of the bottom. Like, as an FSU fan, I thought the bottom of the bottom, we know, was when that FSU lost to Oregon in the college football playoff, or like when we lost to NC State when we had EJ Manuel in that crazy game. That was not the bottom of the bottom. The bottom of the bottom was losing to Jacksonville. And I remember when after we lost to them and we got pounded the next week against Wake Forest and everybody was making fun of Florida State and Mike Norvell stuck his neck out and he went off in his post-game presser. Ever since, we've done nothing but compete, 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 and FSU has played better in every single game ever since then. Norvell put his best foot forward. I think Norvell's one hell of a coach, and he doesn't get the credit for what he deserves for what he does with these programs. When he was at Memphis, they were a juggernaut in the AAC. FSU fans, if we lose to Clemson and if we lose to LSU in those games, we don't need to check out as a fan base. Jared Versch could have been a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. He came back for a reason. Jordan Travis could have been one of the first five quarterbacks left in the NFL draft. He came back for a reason. This FSU team works. We develop talent. Johnny Wilson came back. Everybody came back. We're absolutely loaded top to bottom at the skill position players, not to mention Trey Benson, Toa Fili carrying the rock. Also, FSU's offensive line has 207 combined starts. It's the most starts in college football history for an offensive line. Loaded on that side of the ball. I like Fintrell Cyphers, the cornerback transfer. Defensive line is going to be stacked. The linebacking core is going to be the weak spot on the defense. Overall, Ben, this team is loaded. I think going 10-2 and winning the ACC championship and winning an Orange Bowl is a great season. As much as I'd love to win a national championship, I'm totally cool with going 10-2 and winning the ACC championship.
Yeah, I mean, I have them going to my ACC championship, so as the number one seed. So I think it's going to be a good year for the Seminoles. A lot of talent. The offensive line was the problem when he came in. There was not much there for him, and he kind of retooled that, reshaped it, and it's looking good again. So there's a lot of talent in Tallahassee this year.
A lot of talent in Tallahassee, guys. I'm fired up. I know y'all know I'm fired up because of the fact that I was yelling. Now we got that one over with, Ben. It's time to get to the rest of the conference. Let's talk about the North Carolina Tar Heels here, guys. I'm going to go ahead and go with them next since they did play in the ACC championship. There is some change in this roster. Phil Longo is no longer the offensive coordinator. They will have Gene Chizik back, though, calling the defense. Defense was shaky. Chip Lindsey is going to come in the offensive coordinator for this team. I mean, Drake May, Ben, this guy is going to be in the argument to be the number one pick in the NFL draft this next season. Out of conference, I've got to give North Carolina some credit, man. They scheduled a couple of juggernauts. I wouldn't say juggernauts, but they didn't schedule some cupcakes. They're playing South Carolina. They got the rematch at home against App State, and they play Minnesota as well. South Carolina's neutral. Minnesota and App State are both at home. They do have to go at Pittsburgh. They do get Duke at home. They have to go at Clemson and at NC State to close out the season. Ben, what do you think about the Tar Heels this upcoming campaign?
Yeah, right out of the gate, it's a tough one in Charlotte against South Carolina. There was a report today that came out that a Kent State transfer receiver to UNC, who's supposed to be like their big guy this year, is not going to be eligible to play this year.
Wait, for real?
I
didn't even see that. Wow.
I believe his transfer waiver was denied. If you you can check me on that while I talk.
You're probably right.
Listen, as you said, Heisman hopeful quarterback Drake May, he's back. I would put him as the top quarterback in this division with Jordan Travis just behind him. A lot of hype for May this year, even though some talent has come and gone. The good news is almost their entire offense returns. The bad is just like you said, Phil Longo, the guy who made this offense popular, is not there. So the defense was bad last year, like really bad last year, and I think it has a chance to be even worse. I look at their schedule, and I haven't taken it as of right now, but I've been looking at under 8.5 wins for this Tar Heels team. I think the offense, it is what it is. I think it could put up points. I think it's the same problem they ran into last year. I don't think they can stop anybody. And I'm going to tell you a bet that I wish I could put in right now, but I don't have the ability to, is the over in the Duke North Carolina game this year might be set at 70 something points, because both of
Okay.
these teams have the most atrocious defense I have ever researched on. It's bad. I really think North Carolina in their first four games can go 2-2 going into their bye. After that, I don't think it's, I mean, it gets easier, but I think Miami could be a loss. Who knows with Duke? I mean, Duke's quarterback's pretty good. I'll get to him later. At Clemson, at NC State to finish it up. I've been looking at under 8.5 wins. I haven't taken it yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Ben, you're tempting me, man. I kind of agree with you here. I think that 8 to 9 wins is realistic for this team. At the end of the day, Drake May is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the nation. And while I do agree with you with how bad the defense is, I think Chizik's completely over the hill. I think him and Mac Brown need to pack it up. But at the same time, I still think it's impossible for this defense to be any worse than they were. Apparently, Chizik's been in like the he's been in like the preseason meetings and the practices and stuff like really trying to fire these guys up to wreak havoc and stuff, like giving out awards and stuff at practice. So they're really trying hard. But just to put it in perspective, numbers wise, the defense was 120th in efficiency. I think there's 134 teams in the FBS. They're 124th in finishing drives and 124th in havoc. Chip Lindsey also runs an extremely slow offense, but at the same time, the way I look at it, as long as you got Drake May out there, the dude's gonna ball. I mean, this guy's a freak of nature. They're also, like I said earlier, they're tied with Florida State for third in returning production, but they did lose, I think it's Elijah Green and Josh Downs to the NFL. Replacing those guys won't be easy, but I think Drake May can do it no matter what. Because remember, Downs missed the first couple games of the season, and Drake May had no problem putting up his biggest offensive output. So I think this North Carolina team's still going to win eight. I still think they're right on that 8-9 games, but I still like your under. Ben, let's keep things moving though. Me and Ben already agreed that we were going to go longer on FSU and Clemson and run through these other teams. Now that we're done with those teams, the talent discrepancy really drops off here in the ACC. I'm going to go with Duke though, since they did almost make the ACC championship as our next team to talk about. Riley Leonard's going to be back here at quarterback for the second year under Mike Elko. They bring back 10 starters on offense, 8 on defense. I'll also go ahead and start us off with this team. So, first of all, Ben, for Duke, they do play a relatively easy out-of-conference schedule as they play Lafayette at UConn and Northwestern, but they do draw Notre Dame, which is definitely tough. They have to go at North Carolina, at Louisville, at Florida State. They play Clemson to start out the season out week one. They too play Wake Forest and Pittsburgh. So they don't get Georgia Tech. They don't get Virginia. They don't get Syracuse. They don't get Virginia Tech. Basically, all the Boston College, all the teams in the ACC that we think suck. Actually, sorry, they do play at Virginia, but all the teams in the ACC that we think suck, Duke basically doesn't get any of them besides Virginia. This Duke team, though, Phil Steele had them as his number one team in going down. And I actually think it makes sense. So based off of how that he that going down is judged off the strength of schedule you played last year compared to this year, they play a substantially harder schedule this upcoming season than they did last year, as we just laid out. They played one of the easiest schedules in college football last year. Duke was also plus 16 turnovers, which was the second best turnover margin in all of college football. I think and also special teams wise, they gained the most yardage and the most wins off of special teams in all of college football last year. I think all those things lead to regression. I think this Duke team is going to win 6 games.
I'm even less than that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, Duke's just one of four teams to draw both Florida State and Clemson. That's
That's
extremely
tough.
unlucky if you're an ACC team this year. Not to mention Notre Dame. I think at UConn's a tough game for them. At Louisville's tough. All the ones that you mentioned, I don't need to go over them again. Like I said about North Carolina, if you watch the Duke game, you probably noticed that they had one of the worst defenses in 2022.
Yeah.
But their offense wasn't that bad. I think that's a credit to Riley Leonard, his efficiency. His ability to run for the third down, and just extend plays. He's not a bad quarterback, and he's kind of fun to watch, to be honest with you. He plays hard, not afraid to run the football. And obviously he doesn't have a ton of talent around him, and he's still able to make some plays and move the football and put some points up for Duke. The issue is absolutely the schedule. It is so hard. I think Duke wins around four games.
Wow.
I think they get Lafayette. I think they get Northwestern, and I think it's a losing streak from there until they probably get to Virginia, maybe. I think at UConn is a loss for them.
Wow. Okay. I mean, UConn definitely is trending up. We're not going to spend our time though talking about UConn football, but you're definitely right, Ben.
Jim Mora is there, and
Yeah, he is an
he's got a
NFL head
quarterback.
coach.
He's got a quarterback in there.
Yeah, he definitely does. Okay, Ben, I don't hate it at all, man. I do agree with you. This team's definitely going down. Everything matches up. We're on the same page as Phil Steele here. In an effort to keep things moving here real quick while we're in the middle, let's talk about Wake Forest here real quick, Ben. Wake Forest overall for their out-of-conference schedule, they play Elon, Vanderbilt, at Old Dominion. That's kind of weird to see them playing at Old Dominion, but they do play at Notre Dame, so they'll rematch with Sam Hartman. They still have to play Florida State. They have to play at Clemson. Overall, though, I would say it's like a middle-of-the-pack difficulty in ACC schedule, but Ben, I think this Wake Forest team is going to be a lot worse this year. While I do think they're really
Yeah.
well-coached, and I think they're still going to go 6-6, I don't like the fact that Mitch Griffiths is so short and he's going to be running that mesh concept on offense. The offensive line is pretty trash for them. They still have studs at wide receiver, even though they lost A.T. Perry to the NFL with Green and Banks, but they only have five starters back on offense, six back on defense. I think Wake Forest 6-6 is going to be like I would be sh I don't think they're going to do worse than 6-6 because of the schedule they play, but I don't think they're going to do any better than 6-6. I think they're almost a lock at that. I think Wake Forest is going to regress, and I think Clawson probably should have got out there while the getting was good.
Yeah, I mentioned Duke's one of those teams that has played forward thing. Clemson add Wake Forest straight to that list. No Hartman, tons of turnover on the roster. I think they're fighting to get bowl eligible.
Okay.
There's a lot of teams in the bottom that we're going to talk about next. There's one team I'm a little higher on we haven't mentioned yet, but I think two, three, four, five teams in the ACC, my bottom five. And I can say them at the end, all fight to be bowl eligible. I don't think it wouldn't shock me if any of them didn't make a bowl game.
Yeah, no, I think the ACC, see, Ben, just the way the ACC is divided up, I think some of these teams are going to go 6-6 and make a bowl game. I wouldn't be shocked to see the ACC have the most teams go 6-6 or like 7-5 of any conference of college football. Anyway, let's continue things going. I think this is going to be one of the teams you're going to be a little higher on, Ben. Is it the Pittsburgh Panthers?
Yeah, it is.
Go, so just real quick, Pittsburgh's schedule, they play at Cincinnati, who's supposed to be terrible this season. They also play Wofford. Shout out to my boy John Michael, who's starting safety at Wofford. The backyard brawl is back as they're at West Virginia. They get North Carolina at home this season. They play at Notre Dame, which is kind of one hardish game. And then they also play Florida State at home. But overall, I think they have good splits with their home road games. Narduzzi and company lost a good bit to the NFL. Ben, why are you so high on them this upcoming season?
Yeah, well, they benefit because they get to play four of the bottom six teams in the ACC according to my rankings. I when I say I like this guy, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think Boston College fans were chasing this guy out, and it made no sense to me. Why were Boston College fans chasing Phil Yurkovich out of the program? Like, I remember seeing tweets about how happy people were that he's leaving Boston College. Prior to his injury, he was excellent at Boston College. So, listen, this team, Pittsburgh, meaning this team, had a real big problem without it was Israel, their running back last year.
Abanacanda.
Yep. What team is he on now?
He's on the Jets.
Is he on the Jets? Okay. They had a real problem when he wasn't playing last year. Understandably, he was a phenomenal running back in college football. So they got to replace him. I like this team because, like I said, the schedule I think is a little bit easier compared to some of the other teams that we've talked about recently. And if there's one thing we know about Pitt football, is Pat Narduzzi is going to have a really good defense and they're gonna play hard. I think Djurkovic can get this done to where I have Pitt finishing third in the ACC, one spot behind Clemson and one spot ahead of UNC.
Okay. I actually kind of agree with you. I think they're going to be the third, fourth best team in the ACC. I'm a little worried about Florida State going there to play them in the cold weather late in the season. I think they could put it up. And I agree, Ben. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think Djurkovic, like the fact that he's going to be behind a better offensive line, I think he's going to be able to make the throws. Like, let's be honest. Keaton Slovis is terrible. I thought Keaton Slovis looked awful there. And I mean, this team almost was basically a Keaton Slovis injury from possibly beating Tennessee at the beginning of the season. And Tennessee played so well. They lost Kalijah Kansi, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, to the NFL. But we've seen one thing about Narduzzi. He always coaches up good defense. I know for a fact this Pittsburgh defensive unit will probably be the best defensive unit in all of college football. They have a top 25 offensive line as well. Their defensive line was ranked top five by Phil Steele for the upcoming season. I think this Pitt team's going to be pretty damn good, and I think they're going to give a lot of teams trouble. It might be some ugly football when you're watching Pitt football games, but this team's going to win some football games, and they always seem to do it in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is like for the ACC teams who go at Virginia Tech, it's obviously one of the harder places to play a football game. But once that football game starts, think about the team you're playing. So, like, Pitt goes at Virginia Tech, and you look at that on the schedule as a college football fan or a casual fan, and you're like, that's a really hard place to win.
No,
Win a
100%. And I
bowl
mean,
game, that should be a win for Pittsburgh, even on the road.
no, I think it definitely will. I feel like Virginia Tech's going to win one or two games they shouldn't and lose a bunch of games they should this season. Like, I feel like you said, kind of at home, you know, they're going to have that rally game. So I think that'll work to their favor for this upcoming season. Let's keep it rolling, though, Ben. We only got a couple more teams worth talking about in this conference. Let's talk about them. One of the teams that usually gets a lot of shine in this conference, the Miami Hurricanes. Tyler Van Dyke will be back playing quarterback as the offensive coordinator Josh Gattis is run off. I forget he's at Maryland now. They bring in a Houston offensive coordinator who runs a similar offense to the Rhett Lashley offense we saw Van Dyke thrive in the past couple of years. Just to talk about Miami's schedule real quick. They play Miami of Ohio. Texas A&M comes to play them down in Coral Gables. Bethune-Cookman at Temple, so that could be 3-1 to 4-0. They should play at North Carolina, at NC State, at Florida State, and they do draw Clemson and Louisville, so the NACC schedule is not as easy as they'd like it to be. I'll start us out here, though, on the Hurricanes, Ben. Phil Steele has them as his number fourth most improved team, and I am going to have to agree with Phil Steele. As an FSU hater, I mean, as an FSU fan and a Miami hater, I think this Miami team is going to be pretty good. I think this is an 8-9 win football team. I think they're going to be fighting right there with Pitt in North Carolina for that last spot in there. This defensive line is straight up stacked. They brought back 9 on offense, 10 on defense. So they actually had a ton of injuries to their wide receiver room as their top three wide receivers got hurt last year. All those guys will be back. I think Tyler Van Dyke's going to get back to his Heisman hopeful form where he slung the ball around the yard a couple years ago. I think everything's set up here for him to play well. And I think that this off Ben, let's talk about Josh Gattis too, since you're an Alabama guy. I think Josh Gattis is the most overrated coordinator in all of college football. I feel like everywhere he went, everyone's like, oh, well, they got Josh Gattis. And the team ended up sucking. Like Miami, Michigan, I
Michigan.
forget the other spot he went to that was terrible. I think it was all his buddy that he chased up to Maryland who did everything for him, Locksley. I think Gattis is trash.
I believe I was talking poorly of him when Michigan hired him, and then
You were.
Michigan fans were like, our play calling is very stale and not moving the football. We're not using our guys in the right way. I mean, there was a reason Saban kind of ran him off. In terms of Miami, like, I was talking to you before we started. My thing with the ACC is I think they have two contenders, Florida State and Clemson, two good teams, UNC and Pittsburgh. And then I think it starts to go downhill. And I think the downward slope starts with Miami. So if you want to say that Miami is the first downhill location after the peak, then I think that's where you can put them. I think they're going to compete better than last year, but frankly, they had some very embarrassing losses last year. It got pretty ugly in Coral Gables, especially after losing a Middle Tennessee State to Duke. The A&M loss was bad. The Clemson, they got Florida State, I believe, beat Miami by 60 points. So yeah, I think they can get around the 7-win mark. I'm not as high on Tyler Van Dyke as I think you are. I just don't think the whole like the talent is all there at Miami yet. So I think their receivers are like, I think they're fine for this conference, but they're probably like back end of the top five. I think their quarterback is top five, but again, I think he's like fourth or fifth best in the conference. So it's just like I think they're a solid team, but I don't think they're great. Like I think UNC's quarterback Drake May is better. I think Jordan Travis is better. I think Cade Klubnik's better or can be better than Tyler Van Dyke. And I think Riley Leonard out of Duke is probably better. So I would probably put Tyler Van Dyke as the fifth best quarterback. I think you could put him fourth. I just don't think it's good enough to do any real damage to take Miami seriously just yet. I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think Miami's be competing for an ACC championship or anything, but I think they're definitely to be competitive. I think they're going to be an 8-win team. I feel like Cristobal is going to keep building every single year he's here, and I think that last year was embarrassing. They had a lot of injuries. They kind of checked out after the Texas A&M game. I think they're going to check in this year, though, for sure. But I agree with you on the quarterback ranking. I mean, the ACC has a couple is top heavy at the quarterback position for sure.
Miami's gotten to a point, they've actually, let me rephrase that. They've been at a point where, like, I don't even know the names of their running backs or receivers.
Yeah, I don't know the names of them off the top of my head either. Sad.
I feel like it's been a while. I mean, like, week three, week four, week five, and on. Yeah, I probably know their names. They've either been on
Yeah.
SportsCenter or I'm just watching games, but like, going into the last couple of seasons, I can't name Miami running backs.
Sad that's what it's come to in the University of Miami from them having the top guys in the
Have
NFL
you been
draft.
able to? You're more of the ACC guy than me.
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I'd have to look them up, like. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, so that's
Did
the stage we're at.
Lamar Miller go there?
Yeah, Lamar Miller did go there.
I feel like that's the last running back that I remember at Miami, and I think he's out of the league in the NFL.
DJ Dallas.
Okay, I know that name.
Yeah, he's on the Seahawks currently. But yeah, that's probably about the last really good one they had. Ben, we're almost to the end of our teams here. We got two teams left that are worth talking about in the ACC. Let's go ahead and
Yeah.
talk about the NC State Wolfpack. Brennan Armstrong transfers over here to sling the
Lefty.
rock around. Yep, another lefty just like Ben. He transfers in from the University of Virginia. Other than that, they have a new offensive coordinator who was with Armstrong in his best year when that he was there. It's the post-hype years. They bring back seven starters on offense, five on defense. As a lot of people are saying, the Wolfpack could be a dark horse national championship contender. They open the season up playing at
People are saying
UConn.
that.
People were saying that last year. Remember when they had Devin Leary and everybody? But I think it was the year before they went like 10-2, and Devin Leary got hurt at one point in time. So everyone, had real high hopes for him. Obviously, they didn't live up to it. They play Notre Dame week two. They play VMI, and then their in-conference schedule is not too bad. They do have to play Clemson and Miami, but they avoid Florida State, and their road games look pretty easy. They play North Carolina, obviously, last game of the season at home. Ben, what do you think about this team? Will post-hype NC State be able to bounce back from last year?
I don't think it's going to be that big of a bounce back. Brendan Armstrong's not the greatest quarterback to
Agreed.
kind of take you back to the 10-win promised land. I think week one is interesting. Now, I think that they're over a 2-touchdown favorite against UConn, but don't be surprised if the Huskies plus whatever it is on my card week
Ben,
one.
I was about to say, Ben, is this a preview of the week one card?
Could be. Listen, I new quarter like. UConn, what you had, they had seven returning starters, NC State, of a team that like wasn't, I would say, I would of a team that underperformed last year. I think their quarterback is worse in terms of talent from last year or from this year to last year. He's got a lot of experience, Brendan Armstrong, and I hate to hate on a lefty, but he's not like this knight in shining armor that's coming into NC State and it's just going to bring them back to the 9-win season. So I think they
Facts.
should beat UConn. Don't get me wrong. I think I looked earlier. I think they're minus 16 right now, but don't be surprised if they don't blow the Huskies out.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Ben. I think this is a 7-win team. I think that they will be competitive within the ACC. Ultimately, I can rely on the defense being well. Their defensive coordinator's name slips in my mind. I think he's one of the more underrated coordinators in college football. They have a clear home field advantage too in NC State. I think that he'll do well in Raleigh. I think they'll do well on the defensive side of the ball in Raleigh. Ultimately, though, I kind of agree with you on the offense. Like, the run game was garbage. I think their returning running backs have one combined rushing touchdown. The wide receiver room was terrible. They couldn't do anything on the offensive side of the ball last year. I mean, this offense was absolutely pathetic. I think this NC State team is going to win seven games, kind of like you said. So I don't have too much more to add on them. Let's talk about the last team. I saved them for last because I actually kind of believe in this team. Let's talk about the Louisville Cardinals. Louisville brings in new head coach Jeff Brohm, and they also bring in 25 new transfer portal players. Brohm comes over from Purdue. Quarterback Jack Plummer is going to follow him as well, who was with him at Purdue, then went to Cal. Now here he is here. This Louisville team had an underrated defense last year. They did lose some of the guys to the NFL. They played Georgia Tech week one in the Georgia Dome. I might go to that game if I end up staying in town that weekend. Then they play Murray State, Indiana in the ACC. Their toughest games are at NC State. They do draw Notre Dame. They play at Pittsburgh and they play at Miami, but no Florida State. And no Clemson. They also play Kentucky last game of the season, which is a rivalry game. Bim, how do you think Brom's first year is going to go?
Well, it's about time he's there because it's only like the fifth time that they've tried to bring him home.
Yep.
I'm interested to see what he can turn Louisville into. Now, I'm not as high year one because I think when you just bring in a lot of transfers, it's hard.
Yeah.
I think we year one is just so hard. Like I think the scenario he's coming into is not necessarily the best. Louisville pretty quickly turned into a dumpster fire when Satterfield left. The portal just went wide open and was vacuuming players from their roster inside. So I'm interested to see what they can do year one. I'm not expecting a ton. I think they're going to finish around sixth in the ACC. So I think they will be a bowl team, but I don't think it'll be the easiest because I think when you have a lot of new players in especially a new system, tough to get consistency week in and week out. I think you're going to have some growing pains.
I do agree with you, Ben, on a lot of those points. I think Brohm's actually a really good coach. When you look at what he did in Purdue, I mean, he took this team to conference championship games. He won a lot of games. I thought he gets a lot out of the quarterback play because, you know, he played quarterback there. I think he even had a little stint. I know he didn't start any games in the NFL, but I know he's on an NFL roster for a couple of years. And
He's got
also,
that famous clip in like the USFL. That's him.
yeah. When he actually played quarterback in college, by the way, he was an absolute stud. Like him playing quarterback at Louisville is some of my first memories of watching college football, and he was a beast. Like, he's one of the names I always remembered. So I think he's going to do a pretty good job here, Ben. I do think this team is going to go bowling. I think they're a 6-7 win team. It feels like a broken record at this point saying this about teams. Their secondary does have ball hawks, and while they did lose some on their defensive line, they have a huge home field advantage here, and apparently they've been pumping a ton of NIL money into this team. I think the Louisville Cardinals are gonna have a 6-7 win season, like we just said, and I think that they will surprise a couple teams as well. But I think Brohm's gonna build something here. I wouldn't be shocked to see them win 9 games next year. I think this program's gonna reach the same heights they reached when they had Lamar Jackson playing quarterback under his regime.
I'm totally blanking on the quote right now, but I encourage everyone to Google Jeff Brohm XFL football quote because he says something like, I don't know, am I breathing right now? Are my legs touching the ground? If so, then I'm playing football. It was after some major injury he had. It's a very funny quote. He's a football's man's man.
Yeah. Also, too, guys, go watch the video of him getting lit up in that play as well. He's a beast. I feel like he's just a good motivator and whatnot. Ben, real quick here because we are running out of time. Let's talk about the teams we didn't mention: Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Boston College. Gun to your head, pick one of these teams to go bowling.
Yeah, because they're in Atlanta.
Oh. Real quick, I'm actually gonna take Boston College to go bowling. It's put up or shut up year. I can't even remember their head coach or for Pat. It's Pat Narduzzi. Yeah, for Narduzzi this season. No, it's not Pat Narduzzi. I
No,
can't
he's at
remember who
Pitt.
their head coach is right now, but it's put up or shut up season for them. So they're actually projected to trend up on both offense and defense in YPP. They're minus 11 in turnovers. That's got to improve. They're Phil Steele's number 11th and most improved team, and they have his seventh best chance of being better than last year, meaning they play an easy schedule. I think Boston College can win 6 games this season. They're going to need to do it. One thing real quick about Georgia Tech, because we are in Atlanta, I just want to say this. Bringing a new offensive coordinator, he's going to want to run the shit out of the ball. I do actually like the move to keep Brent Key as the head coach. Do I think he's a great coach? No, but I actually think that he knows what he's doing at Georgia Tech, and I think he's going to put things together. We'll see what Haynes King and company can do. Sorry, nobody cares about those other
That's where
teams.
he is.
Yeah, that's where Haynes King's at. He's at Georgia Tech, and he might not even win the starting job, actually, which is even the worst part about it. Yeah, Haynes King fell a long way, man. Long, long way. Ben, let's rank them, though. Or let's pick our conference player of the year first.
Travis.
Jordan Travis. Give me Jordan Travis. Ben, who's playing in the ACC championship and who's winning?
Florida State will get revenge on Clemson.
Okay. I'm gonna say Florida State beats Clemson because you know we've been bad for so long. So I'm gonna come out here and be a
I
homer
think
and take us
Clemson
to
wins
beat
the
them.
one. I think Clemson wins in the regular season just because it's at home. I think the teams will be. I don't think there'd be too much of a disparity between the teams early on. I think the home field advantage will really help.
Yeah, you know, I try not to be too much of a homer when we talked earlier. I think Florida State's going undefeated this. No, I'm kidding. I don't think we're going to go undefeated this season. I think we handle LSU week one. I think we lose at Clemson in a tight game. And I think we get revenge and we are ACC champions for this upcoming season. Noles coming back to their rightful spot in the ACC. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always,
Possible
man.
playoff team.
Possible playoff team. Yeah, guys, playoff predictions are coming up soon. We have the SEC next week. We'll have Cody on for that one. We're going to do the NFC East in podcast on Friday this week. So we got tons of content coming out for you guys. Football season's right ahead. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always, man.
Yes, was it? Oh, yeah, it is the NFC. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Stacks up conference. But we appreciate everyone who tuned in as always. We'll talk to y'all later. We hope everyone has a good rest of their day.